Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It's being called the largest strike in the history of higher education in America. A work stoppage by the University of California graduate workers, postdoctoral students, and researchers has slowed work across the 10 UC campuses. Although a tentative agreement was reached between the University of California and its postdoc scholars and academic researchers, those employees won't resume their work in solidarity with the others who still don't have a contract. The outcome of the strike could have major impacts on higher education in California and the workforce that it relies upon. Joining us now to share their reporting and provide us the latest on this nearly month-long strike is Cap Radio reporter Janelle Salonga. Janelle, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Good morning, Vicky.
So as we mentioned, the strike is now in its fourth week. For people who may not have been following this since mid-November, can you remind us who went on strike and where do things stand as of this morning?
Yeah, so like you mentioned before, you know, postdoctoral students, academic researchers, student researchers, and academic student employees at UC went on strike starting November 14th. And so academic student employees includes people like teaching assistants, assistant instructors, or graduate student instructors, and things like that. And so this is actually a legally protected strike. It was a strike that was authorized via a strike authorization vote that the union leadership called. The vote to go on strike was over 95%. I think the number is actually closer to like 97-98% of members actually voted to go on strike. And specifically, it's a strike in response to unfair labor practices or unfair labor practice charges leveled against UC, which UC rebuts the validity of. But either way, the union has seven specific demands, which I'll talk about later. And in the meantime, while it's on strike, the people who are striking are withholding work, but also doing showing up across campuses at places like the University Office of the President, where for picket lines, rallies, things like that. There were actually people who were arrested yesterday at a rally for trespassing while they were having a sit-in. And this is currently finals week for fall term students across all the UCs. So withholding labor means that it will turn into a grade strike, meaning some grades won't be submitted. And actually a bunch of faculty, close to 400 per people who have signed on to a pledge, and this doesn't necessarily even include people or entire departments at UC campuses that have signed on to not pick up that struck labor and to not submit grades in solidarity with the people who are striking. And like you mentioned, there are teams for those postdoc students and academic researchers.
Yeah. So when we get to the, okay, so let's get to that tentative agreement, because as I'm hearing from you, Janelle, there are still a lot in flux. I mean, you mentioned that there were some demonstrators who were detained yesterday, and there are still active sit-ins and demonstrations that are taking place. So when it comes to the tentative deal that was reached between the UC and academic researchers and postdoc scholars, what deal was reached? What are the details about this tentative deal?
Yeah, so I mean, first of all, I want to say that, you know, even though there's this tentative agreement that the bargaining teams and UC reached, technically, this is still something that members of those unions have to vote on. So it's not finalized yet. But what I can say about some of the things that the contracts include, so for postdocs, their contract has a lot more childcare and dependent protection. So for example, the union proposed 12 weeks of parental leave, UC proposed 4, and the tentative agreement offers 8 weeks of parental leave. There's family leave with 100% pay, and the minimal salary for postdocs, according to this new contract, if it's ratified, becomes $60,000 annually. And the contract or the tentative agreement also comes with more job security, with initial two-year appointments and increased leave for immigration-related purposes. And then for academic researchers, there is a little bit more support with transit and parking. So, for example, academic researchers per this new contract can put aside pre-tax money for parking payment, and also secured a commitment from UC that says it'll make the best effort to negotiate free or reduced transit prices at each location of a UC campus within 36 months. And both of these contracts also come with additional raises for postdocs and academic researchers.
Okay. So, and obviously, as you said, this still needs to be voted on. And we're talking about a tentative deal reached between academic researchers and postdoctoral scholars, but there are still graduate student employees, tens of thousands of grad student employees across California that remain on strike. I mean, when this strike first began, you went to the picket lines at UC Davis. What did you learn from those you spoke with about why they decided to strike? I mean, you mentioned that vote was like nearly 97%.
Yeah, so I'll actually let some of the striking workers say it themselves. So first, here's Isomar Ortiz-Gonzalez, who is a third year in the UC Davis School of Education.
Any meaningful change that happens, like getting our tuition paid for, getting health insurance, that was all as a result of people going on strike and students going on strike. And so for one meaningful change, and I want living conditions that are keeping up with the inflation and high cost of wages and transportation and just basic living. I need to be out here.
And here's Colby Brown, who's also a third year, though he's a math PhD student, on why he's striking.
For a pay that lets us actually live our lives, not just pay rent and eat ramen. We're hoping that this is, you know, the start of a new chapter for our graduate student career and the profession.
Yeah, I mean, not just pay rent and eat ramen, you know, talking about livability. How has the UC system generally responded to these demands?
Yeah, so specifically, I'll back up and talk about, you know, I mentioned that the union has seven specific demands that they've laid out on their website. So fair compensation is one, and it's arguably the biggest discussion point, right, of not just at the bargaining table, but with a lot of the messaging that the union had come out with even before the strike, when they were talking about, you know, they had a lot of student profiles or a lot of researcher profiles where people were talking about why they were striking. And a lot of that featured compensation, just like the folks that we just heard from. So what that looked like, according to the union's demands, is a $54,000 baseline wage and raises that adjust that address the cost of living and, you know, keep up with inflation. Alongside that, there's also protections for bullying against bullying and harassment, transit and climate needs. So, for example, like the parking and public transportation support that I mentioned, support for families and parents, job security, and disability justice and access needs, along with international scholar rights. So yeah, those are all the kind of specific demands. And with regard to a raise and specifically a cost of living adjustment or a COLA, the UC has kind of said, at least with regards to a COLA, that something like that is a quote-unquote large scale, would have a large scale, quote-unquote large scale and unpredictable effect on the university. And so the UC is saying, you know, we don't set, you know, the housing crisis in the locations that our campuses are set in. This is a little bit out of our hands. And with regard to, you know, job security, and wages, you know, they're saying that workers are only scheduled part-time, though, you know, a lot of graduate workers, a lot of academic researchers are saying that, hey, like, even though technically we may be quote-unquote part-time, like, there is a huge culture of overwork in academia where we are putting in more than 40 hours, you know, sometimes 60, sometimes 80 hours a week just to grade papers, just to fulfill the basic duties of our job. And UC proposals at the bargaining table have also been pretty consistent in the sense that the union has made a lot of adjustments to the proposals, with UC maybe not making so many. And actually, speaking of changes, like recently at the bargaining table, for those who are still bargaining, the baseline wage in the contract moved down from $54,000 to $43,000, which is a huge jump. And the most recent package, which didn't include that COLA language, was presented at midnight to the bargaining team by UC, and UC offered, you know, anywhere in the range between 24 to 29,000 annually. So it's definitely been an ongoing discussion, especially with regards to wages and specifically that cost of living adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about 24 to 25,000 annually. That's a difference of, you know, $25,000 to $30,000 when it comes to, you know, what the graduate students would like. I mean, ultimately, you also mentioned, Janelle, we're also in finals week. School has been going on during this time. How has the strike ultimately impacted learning and research at UC Davis as well as the other campuses across California? Especially, you also mentioned that there is a grade strike as well, potentially.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, the research isn't getting done, right? Like the people who are striking and carrying out their research, that research is just sitting there. And a lot of people have paused their dissertations to strike. So all that research that they've been doing is kind of just sitting there. You know, with teaching, a lot of times these assistant student employees, these are the ones who are doing the grading, who are giving lectures and things like that. So, you know, there's a variety of ways that this can impact a class, depending on how many TAs, how many graduate student instructors there are. I know when I was at UC Davis, and this is still true now, there are classes that are solely taught by graduate student instructors. And so if they're striking, then there's just no class. And, you know, some undergraduates are skipping class to go to the picket lines and support their fellow students or fellow coworkers. I know that I had a friend whose teacher actually took them out to the picket line. So that, you know, that's kind of disrupted, obviously, the normal flow of things. Though I will also say that that's kind of the intent, right? Like, that's what graduate student workers have been telling me, and academic researchers and so on and so forth, that the purpose of the strike is to disrupt the function of the university, which includes delivering grades so that the university feels pressured to kind of make some concessions, meet the graduate workers where they're at, or meet people where they're at the bargaining table. And with regards to that grade strike, you know, the UC Faculty Association is currently circulating a poll to kind of gauge, you know, how many grades might not be submitted because of the strike and because of, you know, faculty standing in solidarity with the workers who aren't submitting grades. And, you know, as of yesterday, that count, which, you know, isn't comprehensive because this is a self-selected sample, it says that over 30,000 grades might not be submitted or won't be submitted. But these grades will be listed as NG, which is different from incomplete. And there's, you know, a whole set of other things that go with that. So graduate student workers have like an FAQ for what cases it might be appropriate to, you know, break the strike or ask your TAs to release your grade. So, for example, if like you got under a C or something like that in a class and you're on academic probation and you really need like that grade or something like that, or financial aid is dependent on that grade and you are on academic probation in, like, you know, very limited scenarios. But because it's not listed as an incomplete, but as this kind of gray category, no grade, it won't necessarily impact students sizably compared to if, you know, in some other cases.
Yeah. And you also, you know, when you were actually going to the picket line and talking to people who are demonstrating, you also wrote an article and you focused on disabled UC Davis workers who've been working to increase accessibility. What did you learn from them specifically?
Yeah. So, I mean, I learned a lot. Like I mentioned before, like disability justice and access needs and access rights are kind of one of the, they're one of the seven main demands that the union laid out. But that's kind of in flux because at that, at a recent meeting where bargaining team members voted to take out provisions from the contract, like dependent healthcare They also decided to take the access needs article out of the contract. And so the access needs article is that kind of disability justice article in the union proposed contract. So it was actually spearheaded by lots of disabled workers who put together this article. And one of them is Megan Lynch, who's a third year master's student at UC Davis. She spearheaded the creation of UC Access Now in summer 2020. And that's a coalition that addresses the inaccessibility at UC and really pushes for universal access, for dismantling and addressing ableism. And Lynch helped shape the creation of the access needs articles under the idea that...
Why do we have to think small in this world? UC is a public institution. It should be accessible to the whole public, and it really should not, you know, we've gotten kind of beaten down and used to this idea that everything a disabled person needs, like we're not somehow worthy of better working conditions. And that could be extended to people who are not disabled as well, because, you know, the UC makes people who are not disabled or who do not identify as disabled also have to work for like these basic, very basic worker things.
And Janelle, in the last minute or so we have left, how can this demand for equitable access ultimately lay the foundation for new precedents when it comes to that more access and support that these demonstrators are asking for?
Right. Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, one of the big things with the access needs, a big part of that is having universal online access without requiring documentation. And documentation can be very costly to get from doctors, going to a lot of doctor's appointments. And it can also help undergraduates too, you know, by setting the precedent of there is just greater access across all teaching mediums. And so another thing is, you know, workers have been kind of connecting the dots between that demand for equitable access and a need for a cost of living adjustment. So, for example, that can look like, you know, being able to focus on your studies because you have someone who you have a living wage that you don't need to, you know, work a second job or anything like that to support yourself. Or, you know, if you have enough money to be able to live alone and you're someone who is high risk for COVID or immunocompromised, you're able to have that protective barrier, right? You don't have to risk living with roommates who maybe don't have the same kind of COVID protections or COVID safety needs that you do. And so everything is really connected. There's a lot of these broader demands about like community safety and access needs and cost of living adjustment that are about more than just, you know, we want a fair contract. It's about really changing, you know, I guess like shooting for the stars, right? And re-envisioning a university that is really meant for the public.
Janelle, thank you so much for just following along on this ongoing and incredibly important issue across the state and just breaking it down for us because it can get complicated. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on, Vicky.
That is CAP Radio reporter Janelle Salonga sharing their reporting on the UC strike across California campuses. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.